Okay, we will call to order this regular session of the Springfield Planning Commission. If you'll all rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. Any adjustments to the agenda? No? All right. We have time now set aside for business from the audience. We have received a request to speak. However, I think it is relating to the legislative public hearing that we're going to have, so related to the Glenwood Refinement Plan Phase 1 Amendment. So I'll hold that and we'll do it during that process. Okay? All right, so at this time, we will convene the public hearing. This is a legislative public hearing, and it relates to the Glenwood Refinement Plan Phase 1 Amendments. Anything from legal counsel in relation to a legislative public hearing?
No, it probably would be helpful if people want to disclose if they think they have. Normally, this is a legislative hearing, not a quasi-judicial, but because of the nature of the decision, maybe disclose any bias or potential for conflict of interest.
Okay. Any bias or conflict of interest, Commissioner Piscinari?
Not here.
Okay.
It has been brought up that I may have a conflict of interest, and whereupon I said, and I've had a conflict of interest all the years I've been working on this Glenwood plan. It's been my goal to make Glenwood a better place. So will I gain from it anything we do? Yeah, that's what I'm here for. That's what I'm doing Springfield for, to make Springfield a better place. I gain from that. In this case, I do have some property in Glenwood that will be affected. It's my feeling that 10 years down the road, before anything happens to that, and we're going to go through this a couple times before the apology. So I feel like I make a decision fairly, impartially, and I will do that.
Okay.
No ex parte.
Go ahead.
No, nothing for me.
No conflicts here.
No conflicts.
And I have no conflicts. No ex parte communication. Okay, so at this time, we'll turn it over to Molly McCarrion and Tom Boyette for the staff presentation.
So before we go through our presentation, I'd like to enter two pieces of written communication into the record, and I believe Brenda gave you copies of those.
She did.
Emails that I received from Sean Nugent and John Brombaugh.
Okay, that will be entered into the public record.
So the reason we are here tonight is to talk about an amendment to the Phase 1 Glenwood Refinement Plan, specifically to address some design changes for Franklin Boulevard. And tonight we are requesting that you forward a recommendation of approval to both the Springfield City Council and the Lane County Board of Commissioners to adjust the Franklin Boulevard project concept as currently depicted in the refinement plan and the associated Springfield Development Code text. I think you all are pretty well aware of the Franklin Boulevard redevelopment project, which has been developed with the objective of transforming Franklin Boulevard from an auto-oriented roadway into a multi-way, multimodal boulevard. And the community hopes will have a catalytic effect on land redevelopment in Glenwood. To remind all of you, the Franklin Boulevard project area extends from the Springfield Bridges at the intersection of Franklin Boulevard and McVeigh Highway west to the intersection of Franklin Boulevard with Glenwood Boulevard. A couple of milestones. If you all recall, the Glenwood Urban Renewal Plan was adopted in 2004 following a public vote to create the Glenwood Urban Renewal District. In 2008, the city embarked upon the Franklin Boulevard Study, at the end of which the city council endorsed a hybrid multi-way boulevard concept. A year later, the city applied for a federal Tiger grant. The city wasn't successful, but it helped push forward the design and the concept with the public. In 2012, the city and the county adopted the Phase 1 Glenwood Refinement Plan. A year later, Franklin Boulevard was annexed into the city. And then in 2014, the city completed its NEPA environmental review, and also in 2014, jurisdictional transfer of Franklin Boulevard occurred, transferring from the state to the city. And right now, the Franklin Boulevard redevelopment project is in the final stages of drafting their statement of work with their final design consultant team, and that will proceed through the rest of 2014 and into 2015. So, in the Glenwood Refinement Plan, if you may recall, we included a building envelope for future reconstruction of Franklin Boulevard. As the city went through the NEPA process, the original concept design was refined and the building envelope was shifted to reduce impact to properties. And so at this time, now that we have a refined design and a refined envelope, we want to go back into the refinement plan and amend it to accurately depict the current concept. So starting in 2008, this was what the design looked like in 2008, and the pink shows you the buildings that the project would have an impact on these buildings under the 2008 design. And then in the refinement plan, as the design was refined, we showed an envelope within which the design would occur. And then in 2013, as the city went through the NEPA process, they refined the impact to buildings. And you can see the buildings upon which the impact would occur in this diagram. And then in the final concept that we have right now, the impact has been minimized.
So this is the current impact. The previous slide was the impact has been before.
Correct. Well, so 2008 was the original impact.
Okay.
And then there was an interim, which was this impact. And then this is the impact today. And Tom can talk about any of the specifics of that process.
Well, I'd be happy to answer any questions. I think there are a couple key takeaways. First of all, that original concept, which was really follow-on work to the first part of the Glenwood Refinement Plan done in the early 2000s. And in the 08 picture that you saw, the 2008 picture, there were 33 buildings and properties impacted, 28 commercial, 5 residential. Through the first iteration of NEPA, we got that number down to 31 commercial, no residential. And in the final design, remember, we were operating under council directive to minimize as practical, still maintain the functionality of the project. Just recently, what we submitted to Federal Highways had 20 impacts, all commercial. So 33 to 20, and that's our work refining the project design and using project elements and working with LTD to get that envelope narrowed.
So, question related to State Planning Goal 12 and the transportation you know, LTV, the LTV piece of this.
Mm-hmm.
You have, I think, three stations along that corridor identified in the latest iteration of the plan. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. Three station locations. There'd be paired stations, one on either side of the street, but three locations.
All right, and so not a not a dedicated lane as such down the center of the thoroughfare, but they would be using existing traffic lanes with pullouts?
So the stations will be located at the roundabout intersections.
Okay.
And because it's a roundabout corridor and there isn't delay in platooning from signalized intersections, we don't have a delay problem in the projected future for the transit vehicle. They can function along with everybody else. Kind of a neat part of the design at the station is that there's sort of a slip lane for the bus. The MX vehicle slips out of the roundabout, and then where it re-enters the roundabout, it's actually ahead of the traffic coming through, so it has right-of-way. If everyone's going design speed, the bus will have right-of-way in front of traffic circulating in a circulating roadway. The 2014 cross sections that you see up there, there is 22 feet of sort of future capacity that's embedded in the landscape medians and some of the parking in the wider sidewalk that should that day come, 20, 40, 100 years from now, where dedicated transit capacity is needed. I mean, it could be truck capacity, freight capacity, it could be car capacity, it could be transit capacity. The room will be there so that it would be working inside the boundaries of this footprint, reconfiguring some of the elements to put that future capacity to use.
So you've moved from 172 feet to 175 feet, is that correct, in the latest iteration?
Yes, at its widest.
At its widest.
Yeah. And centered it up along the existing center line, which was essentially a NEPA requirement to avoid disproportional, what's called disproportional impacts. So the original design had most of the right-of-way coming from the south side of the facility, and then by relocating it to the center, we actually avoided quite a few more buildings.
Yes.
So where did the four roundabouts come? I mean, I know I'm going to probably have to take a little bit of history here to get caught up.
Mm-hmm.
The four roundabouts is kind of new to me. I know that the last time we spoke of this, it was there was considering one large one to the east side, and there wasn't any on the west of that because of the property. That's number one, and I was trying to figure out where that came from, but I'm also looking at the cross sections. I don't have any pictures of that, but the cross sections of the lane makeup in those different areas of the boulevard. The reason I'm bringing this concern is that I'm concerned about it's a large industrial area, so I'm concerned a little bit about the truck movement in that area, and also the size of some of these lanes. Just from my opinion, if those are to scale. Are those cross sections to scale?
Don't know. They're probably schematic.
So if it, I'm just a little bit concerned about the width of the bike lanes, how much foot width they're taking.
Too narrow or too wide?
Well, I drive both cities all the time, and I'm concerned that there seems to be a shift in Eugene as regards to the width of the bike lanes. They're increasing and decreasing the size of turn lanes to vehicles,
mm-hmm.
to the point of where a lot of vehicles are now violating that space with their tires because they've run out of space to use in turn lanes in preference to, or building preference to bikes. So to me, they've encouraged liability onto drivers of vehicles. But I'm wondering, what's happening with the width here? Is there a master plan somewhere out there for bikes and widths, bike lanes?
Okay, so it's a standard bike lane. and it's required in state law to be on this level of facility.
Right.
So that's what we're doing. It could be shown at 5 or 6 feet.
I know the presence is required, but I don't know about the width.
5 is the minimum, including the stripe, so.
Right.
Outer edge of the stripe to the gutter bar is 5 feet.
So the plans in this plan are the minimum?
They're either 5 or 6, I can't see it from here.
Because that seems like that would be eating up space.
What you're seeing in Eugene is you're seeing a bike lane carried through an intersection and sharing that right turn turf with the right turning vehicle. And they just gotta work it out. We have very few of those.
Yeah, and some left turns as well. But again, we're talking about the width of the street. The reason I'm bringing that up is because I know that property along there is very important to the property owners. And I don't wanna see feet width space taken because we can, as opposed to in some areas where we have to take a minimum. Mm-hmm. And leave that other space alone. Making my point, that's all. But if I can get those numbers, that'd be great of on those spaces, if what's mandated and what's been opted for, it'd be great.
We can do that. And you also asked about the roundabouts.
Right.
And the roundabouts are basically preserving mobility throughout the whole corridor for a long, long time. So it's a design consideration. They're safer. They're going to slow the traffic down a little bit at intersection, which is going to be safer for everybody.
I like them. Don't get me wrong.
No, I know. And just to give you final on the freight, we have been working with the freight folks, and we'll be doing a lot more of that. And we're not going to design every roadway for John's cranes, because those heavy loads can be flagged through. But certainly provision for it. And when we negotiate our jurisdictional transfer with ODOT, they attached to our acceptance of the roadway highway directive number, or whatever number it was, 51 or something like that, which describes the process that we will use with the freight industry when we go through and finalize design. And we've talked to several of them. UPS loves it. They measure money in tenths of a minute, something like that. So very little delay. They call it money going out the tailpipe, out the smokestack. And if they don't have to stop in the middle of the night and wait 90 seconds or 120 seconds for a left turn or a through movement, they're doing all right. The roundabouts aren't going to have any problem handling freight capacity.
U.S. Bakery as well as one has been contacted.
Yep. The triples, ironically, are turned better than the doubles.
Right.
And they come and go I-5 to the south for the most part.
One more question about the bike paths before we move on. Now, those bike paths are on both sides, is that correct?
Bike lanes, yes.
Bike lanes. And those lanes run down to the west to the crosswalk that's currently down there, the pedestrian crossing that's mm-hmm. down there. Is that correct?
Yeah, the westbound lane will run just to that location, maybe a little bit east of there, where it will merge onto the viaduct.
Right.
There'll be a transition there.
Yeah. Good. Okay, other questions? All right. Do you have anything else for us? No? Okay. Any other questions for staff? Commissioner Moe?
I hear alluding to widening the envelope, I think it's 4 to 5 feet or up to 10 feet.
It's actually, yeah, we said, I think the original envelope was between intersections.
That's okay.
172. Yeah.
This was done in January 2014. What is it now?
Its widest is 175.
I mean, putting this new width into place, how does it affect that? buildings, displacement.
The design.
Yeah.
There are two diagrams shown in the refinement plan. One is the design that is exactly this design from January 2014. And then the project envelope extends 5 feet to the north and the south.
Right.
So.
Does that displace structures, the additional 5 feet?
The envelope doesn't add to the impacts, except in a couple places. It's only there to shift away from something. If you needed 3 feet.
Maneuver room.
1 foot, 6 feet, to avoid an impact on the other side of the street. It's there so we can sort of shift within. Remember, we're continuing to reduce impacts. And
so
a little bit of flexibility, you know, even up to construction engineering when they're out in the field might be a good thing. But the purpose is to have the flexibility to avoid, if at all possible.
The property owner doesn't have that flexibility.
No, sir.
Okay.
Okay. All right. All right. We do have a request. We have a request from the audience to speak. Philip Marvin, speaking against the proposal, if you would step forward and state your name and address, and you have 3 minutes.
Okay, my name is Philip Marvin, P.O. Box 2055, Eugene, 97403, and I've been a property owner in Glenwood area for 15 or 17 years now. Worked with the city of Eugene on the project, worked with the city of Springfield on the project. This January 14 section that you've got here, I didn't see from anybody in city staff until maybe 3 months ago. And the roundabout on the east end of Franklin Boulevard has increased in size by more than 30% since the last diagram I saw, which impacts property that I own greatly. We own the property from the Springfield Bridge west, all the undeveloped property up to the Ramsey Way property, including the Action Rail Yard. So this, when I first saw this diagram, like I say, probably less than 3 months ago, I talked to city staff. That roundabout on your east end, like I say, has increased. I don't know for a fact how much it's increased, but it's increased by at least 30%. They say there's nothing they can do about it, but the last time I saw the diagram, it was the same size as the next roundabout to the west. So you can see by your diagram how much it's increased. And it does affect our property greatly. And from what I understand, the city is going to try to take that property, and we will do everything legally possible on our end to try to slow that process down. I don't think it's right. I don't think dropping this ball on the property owners 3 months ago, when this diagram says January 14, is right. We haven't had a chance to really do anything about it. Although I've talked to city staff, but they seem very reluctant to talk to me about it. I guess that's what I have to say about it. We're very much in favor of the Glenwood Refinement Plan, although I think in some respect as a developer it's gone a little too far, made it a little bit restrictive for developers in the Glenwood area who want to see something happen in there. And like I say, we've been working on this for a long, long time, you know, along with you people. And we want to see something happen too. But you're making it very restrictive on us, and the taking process is not something that I feel really comfortable with.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you for your time.
All right. Do you have anything into, rather than your testimony, to enter into the public record?
No, not at this time.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, John Oldham, please step forward, state your name and address.
John Oldham, and my business address is 3330 Franklin Boulevard, Eugene, Oregon. Okay. My home address is 85133 Ridgeway Road, Pleasant Hill, Oregon.
Okay.
I'm a third generation property owner in Glenwood. My grandfather first bought a piece of property here in the late 30s, and it's where our business is currently located. And then he purchased another piece of property in the 70s. It's where the former Midway Market, which I think is the most dilapidated building in Glenwood, is located. And I have some concerns about this plan. I was involved in the Franklin Boulevard Stakeholders Advisory Committee that started back, I believe, in the fall of 2007. And that's where the 2008 plan came from, the hybrid plan. And there were many concerns from those stakeholders that were addressed in coming up with the hybrid plan. And a lot of that was the quantity of property that was being taken for the right of way, and the width being, at that time, 175 feet, which seemed to be excessive, or in the neighborhood of 175 feet. And there hasn't been, I don't believe, stakeholders involved in the change from the hybrid plan to this new plan, with, it appears to be, four or five roundabouts, depending on how you count them. And the plan has significant impact to the businesses that are there. It's going to eliminate some of those folks. And it's going to have some impacts on those of us who plan on trying to remain. And I have some serious concerns about access to the property that we have and use now. And I think that's going to be difficult for us to mitigate. And I think also on a broader scale, access-wise, when you talk about trucks, it's one thing for a UPS truck to travel the roadway, and it's something else for some of the larger vehicles on the road to travel through. There's a large switchgear building at the University of Oregon that came through here a couple years ago, and they had one route to get to the university. It was through here, coming down the McKenzie. And here last week, there was a large dryer drum that went to Kingsford that failed to negotiate an exit, because the radius is awful tight on the exit for the length and size of the load. And those large loads do get routed down the McKenzie, and one of the pathways in is through into Eugene or Springfield is through Glenwood. And so that is a concern. You have to build the roadway large enough for that type of vehicle, even if it's an occasional usage. And I'm not sure that this plan accommodates that. So that sums up my concerns.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, staff, response to comments that have been made?
Yeah, just in reverse order.
Okay.
Any oversized load that's going to pull a permit and get flagged through isn't going to have a problem with the geometry of Franklin Boulevard. We can close a lane for the duration of the trip. We could switch traffic to two-way operation on one side. The roundabout skirts are mountable. All of that's in the process of being engineered and will be workable. After we took, and it's several discussions with council, brought this forward in January, within 2 weeks after the council meeting in February, our staff, my staff, and our public involvement consultants were out in Glenwood and knocked on every single business door, mailed to every business, mailed to every property owner, bent over backwards to meet with folks, and I guarantee you, I'm a little confused by what I'm hearing. They met with everyone in that corridor, sometimes more than once, and sometimes had to be a little bit pushy to get actually to the decision makers, you know, beyond the people that were maybe staffing the business. We have a log of all of that activity. I'm confident that the public involvement piece has been met. And so those are my responses.
Any other questions for staff? I think it would be beneficial you've outlined in the findings the communication process, I think, pretty clearly. It is a little disconcerting to hear the public say that they were not noticed or they were not aware, because part of land use processes ensure open and clear communication. So my experience has been with staff that you abide by that and go the extra mile to make sure there are those types of communications. In terms of the resizing of the roundabout to the east, could you talk about that a little bit, when that occurred, and you know, was what was stated, I mean, why was the size increased to the size as proposed now on this January 14th plan?
Well, it wasn't actually. That's a smaller circulating roadway than we had in 2008. If you flip back in the 2008 image, it's hard to see. Go back to the image, Molly, where you can see the roundabout on. So up on top, you know, yep. So the diagram on top has a very large roundabout, much larger than what we're planning to build as what's called a dog bone, two roundabouts, but it's in a different location. And if you look at that location, it has pretty dramatic property impacts in Glenwood. Multiple millions of dollars more than the current design, and far greater impacts to businesses and properties. So in the process of refining and trying to work as much as possible at that end of the corridor within the existing right-of-way that ODOT has sort of bequeathed to us, so now flip back. That's when we came up with the dog bone, and because we had to center the alignment due to NEPA and try to shrink it to avoid impacts, it moved around a little bit, and it may be impacting, I can't tell looking at this how much more of Mr. Marvin's property the current design impacts, but you have to remember that the whole facility moved to the north, so that because it was in effect disproportionately impacting the property across the street. So there may be a little bit more on a specific property, but overall, it's dramatically less of an impact to private property.
Okay.
Excuse me, can I make another comment?
If it relates to the consideration for continuation of public hearing or extension of the written record?
Yeah, it's legislative, so you can make a comment.
Sure, but I'm saying you don't extend the record.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you haven't closed the hearing.
That's true.
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay.
Step four.
I did meet with city staff, planning, traffic, roughly 6 months ago, and at that point in time, the roundabout was the same size as the roundabout just to the west of the one that I'm talking about. about 3 months ago, and this gentleman can probably tell you when, they came up with a new design, and that's when I was first notified. And I wasn't called to a meeting to talk about it, wasn't called to anybody to talk about it. I found out through the adjacent property owner about it. So about 6 months ago, I did meet with staff, but at that point in time, that roundabout was the same size as the roundabout to the west. So the roundabout that I'm talking about, the furthest one to the east, has changed dramatically since my meeting with city staff. And I've called, talked to city staff several times since then over the phone. I've never been asked to come in and meet with city staff after that one meeting. And I had to initiate that first meeting myself. And I did meet with your staff member, her name is Christy, I can't remember what her last name is, and another fellow named David. I don't have either one of their names in front of me right now. But this roundabout here, first time I came to know about it was about 3 months ago. And it wasn't through city staff. Thank you.
Okay, discussion.
Now we're after you close the public hearing.
I would certainly entertain a motion to close the public hearing.
Okay, I'll make a motion to close the public hearing.
Second.
Okay, moved and seconded to close the public hearing. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, the public hearing is closed. Okay. Discussion related to the proposal, including the testimony and evidence that we've received tonight. Yes, Commissioner Malt.
It's my goal, I hope our goal, the city's goal, that they can help work with that dog leg, or dog bone, we'll call it, design. So that Mr. Marvin comes to you and begs you. That's what I want to see. And get something in there that enhances what he wants to do. And so, like I said, he comes to you and says, yeah, that's just what I want. It's going to do me good. These roundabouts, this traffic corridor, and going to, when it's built, is going to be the bright spot in Oregon. Take a long time to do it, but it's really going to enhance the future. It's going to be one of a kind in the state. And Glenwood's going to just develop like crazy. It'll be the most wonderful place in the world. I want to see that. The other thing I had was public input. We heard talk about public input. I've been on planning commission for a long time, and it's always been a problem. In this city, there's no money getting out and trying to notify the public what's going on. They invite the public in, they invite comment, they put it on the web, they mail things, they knock on doors, they do everything possible. And when we have a public hearing, we still get somebody who comes in here and says, I didn't hear about it. I understand that, they probably didn't, but we truly, the city truly tries very hard to make sure. Years, it'll always happen.
Okay. Other comments? Commissioner Christian, do you have anything?
I'd be a little concerned with Mr. Oldham's comments that truly with permits and such, I work with large trucks, 53-footers all the time, and getting around, it's difficult, but I feel comfortable with the staff and engineering looking and knowing what they're doing, so I would hope that'll all be resolved. So that was a concern I had right off, thinking trucks.
This really is process that, I mean, we're still in the planning phase for phase one, or the design phase for phase one of this, which would include the dog bone and one, and the additional roundabout to the west, is that correct? Or how much of that would be included in the first phase?
You exactly described phase one. We don't have it designed yet, and we have not begun the right-of-way negotiations for the takings process, the just compensation taking. And we have a fixed amount of project dollars. So if we run into problems, we'll probably, I mean, it's likely, I can't guarantee it, we would scale it back from the west to the east and not build the second intersection. If we're close, we'll make it happen. If the gap is too large to bridge, we'll have to adapt. But yes, the current plan is to construct from the Springfield bridges through the Mississippi intersection, and then that transition back to existing.
And through the design phase, my assumption is that there will be public notice and there'll be some other information shared as you move forward through that process. Is that correct?
Absolutely. And as I said, you know, the what the designers will do is try to design this to, you know, super tight tolerances in three dimensions, both horizontally and vertically. Get it surveyed onto a survey accurate base, look at the impacts, and then start talking to property owners and businesses.
All right. Any other questions for staff? Commissioner Missionary?
I'm still trying to fixate on that picture that I have here. It's when I try to expand it, it's not just kind of difficult to read because it's not, it's pixelated. But correct me if I'm wrong, we're talking about making a corridor that makes the Glenwood more accessible and flow through and whatnot. And Franklin really does have some pretty good flow through right now. Mm-hmm. And it still has, you know, in spite of many side streets. But speaking of the ability to get in and around in Glenwood itself, as opposed to traveling through Glenwood, mm-hmm. in this diagram I have here, is it looks like there's like just where the roundabouts are is where people are going to be able to get off into the neighborhood of Glenwood.
So on the north side, you have the street grid that's in the Glenwood Refinement Plan.
Right, I remember that.
The principal accesses for those are, I believe, at Glenwood and McVay Highway.
Right.
Where there are slip lanes on the north side, so that's the multi-way boulevard concept where local traffic isn't
right,
slow
yeah,
moving
side
with parking
separated.
And the through is going through.
Right.
There are also two more accesses in.
And those are the two red rectangle spots that
yeah,
are...
Yeah, do we have the Glenwood Refinement Plan? We don't have the picture, so we can't show you exactly, but it's hard to pinpoint, but between... maybe Molly has a better idea.
Well, by the one by the southwest corner of the mobile home park, and also the one that's to the between the easternmost dog bone and the next one, kind of right in the middle.
So there are north-south streets at Glenwood Boulevard and McVay Highway, and then also at Mississippi. Mississippi is also a north-south through street, and then the proposed park block streets. Are then at Brooklyn and Henderson.
So that's circulation on the north side.
Right.
On the south side, it's still the four main intersections.
Right, and that's what I was looking at, because, you know, right now, those neighborhoods have have got some pretty easy in and out. And so have you done any trip count potential there in regards to those local neighborhoods where right now those east-west streets are experiencing very little traffic, and some of those east-west streets are now going to have quite an increase in that in regards to people trying to make their way over to that ingress and egress?
We haven't done any counts. I think what I'm saying is that those four locations that provide that will remain. Possibly Brooklyn, but we may have a right-in, right-out of Brooklyn.
Because it looks like there's some going to be eliminated. Some of the several of the side streets will not have their access.
There are one or two sort of composite public ways that are made up of easements and old county local access roads in parts, and I think just, you know, constant usage in other parts. And a primary goal of this project, as well as the Glenwood Refinement Plan, is to continue to provide access to everyone who currently enjoys access in one fashion or another. But remember, there's development interest, especially on the north side, that's working with the grid and is planning to redevelop a whole bunch of that property, actually two projects right now.
Yeah, the north side, I've seen those
okay.
plans, and I'm
so
very
the,
familiar with
so the
Ronald
south side is going to remain pretty
I'm concerned about the south
primarily
side.
Primarily the same. Yeah. Same amount of access to Franklin.
Well, okay. But the same direction of travels people are already doing, or is it going to change that pattern is what I'm concerned about as far as if you change a bunch of traffic patterns in neighborhoods, then you're going to have some neighbors, but people, mm-hmm. property owners are going to be pretty can be negatively impacted, mm-hmm. and those are the people that may be the loudest voices down the road, and those are the people that really should be, I think, if it's predictable, it's preventable. Mm-hmm.
So since we're really not changing the access,
so you don't think
we don't
have
think
that?
We're changing the travel pattern, but we haven't studied it.
Okay, I'm just wanting to be clear there. I think that should be in someone's mind, so that way, mm-hmm. if we have some of those property owners come out now and say, you know what that's going to do to me, and us go, we didn't know that, so, all right.
We have been running a detour up and down Henderson,
right.
on a large portion of the New Bay Highway traffic. And, it's still kind of hard to notice, but it's definitely occurring.
Okay. All right, further discussion? Okay, so I certainly would entertain a motion.
I'll move to approve after reviewing the staff report in tonight's hearing. The Springfield City Council and the Lane County Board of Commissioners, Springfield file number TYP414-0002 and TYP414-00004 and Lane County file number 509-PA14-05471, amending the figures and text of the transportation chapter of the Glenwood Refinement Plan Phase 1 and the Springfield Development Code Appendix 3.
And just to be clear, that was a move to recommend approval.
Yep.
Yes.
Move to recommend approval.
Okay. There's a motion on the floor. Do I hear a second?
I'll second.
Okay. Okay. Moved by Nick, seconded by Johnny to approve and recommend to the Springfield City Council and Lane County Board of Commissioners, and I will not repeat as it was stated. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, so it was a unanimous vote. All right. On to other business. Reports of council action. Has anyone attended a council meeting as of late? There's been a recess. I was the mayor joined us this morning at the superintendent's presentation for the State of the Schools address, so I did get a chance to say hi to the mayor this morning, which was good. We do have an item business for the Planning Commission. I would certainly entertain a motion to approve the minutes of the July 22nd and July 29th meetings.
So moved. Second.
Okay. Moved by Commissioner Moe, seconded by Commissioner Kirschman to approve the July 22nd and 29th minutes. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Upcoming Planning Commission meetings. You all have the calendar. Brenda's given us that information. Committee assignments. Brenda, did you have something in mind for committee assignments? Are we going to be discussing this at some time for Joe? Is he going to be assigned some tasks or some? Will that come as time goes on? Yes. Okay. The Development Advisory Committee did meet this last week and will be presenting to the City Council, I believe, early in October. Any other business? Greg, do you have any business for us?
No, sir.
Okay. All right. We stand adjourned.
Thank you. So I guess we're going to sign everything we don't want to do.
I thought we were going to pile on, man.
There's nothing right now.
That's right. We should get it.
Turn you over to
the B-PAC.
Trying to get you the B-PAC. Yeah.